Chapter 20. Change of the Guard. The Shalane fumed.
I cannot believe you have done it, Mother. What will Shaitan think? He will think we hate him.
Her fervent protest did not change Mirel's determined face. The walls showed sunrise over the King's Blood Lake the morning after Jen's defence of the Shalane's honour. Her mother knocked on the door before dawn and ordered Eldwina to leave before the handmaiden could finish brushing the Shalane's hair. Mirel resumed the task herself, and the Shalane was speechless with surprise at the announcement of Jen's elevation to the protectorship, and said nothing until her mother put the comb down on the vanity.
"And Dacen will think we despise him."
"My daughter," Mirel said firmly, "I desire one thing above all others, to keep you safe. I interviewed Jen last night. This morning I spoke with Harrick and Captain Tolbrook. They agreed that Jen is the best swordsman standing on Rugothian soil. But more compelling than that is something Ethrys told me the day of the trials. He said that Jen feels a powerful devotion and loyalty to you, Shalane, as he proved beyond any doubt last night. So what Shaitan, or what Dacen thinks, be damned. If I know Dacen, he realized he committed an error when he deferred to Shaitan and will expect dismissal from the protectorship. As for Shaitan, I find it hard to believe he will find a way to behave less civilly to you, regardless of what he may think we feel for him.
I must marry him, Mother, the Shalane said. He will think you his enemy if you award Jen the protectorship for defying him.
So you think Jen should have withheld his challenge, then?
No, of course not,
the Shalane replied, tone softening with the remembrance of the feelings her deliverance had awakened within her.
He is noble and courageous, and deserves whatever honour we can give.
Exactly. And I tell you this, if Shaitan continues to treat you like one of his no-account concubines, I will be his enemy. What is honourable must be revered and defended, regardless of where it is found. Baseness must be despised and fought wherever it is found.
You're quoting. Who said that?
The Shalane asked.
Jen did last night. The man who lives that creed is the man who will guard my daughter. No other. Not any more. It will hurt you politically in some quarters. You know that, don't you?
Most decisions I make do. But I'm not making a political decision. I am making a personal and moral one. Shaitan will rise to our standard. We will not tolerate his. It is principle over expediency, dear. Shaitan acts like he does because no one taught him better, or, if they did teach him, never enforced the instruction. Jen, I think, is Shaitan's first true instructor, and with Jen as your protector, Shaitan will have no chance to forget the lesson. We can only hope he understood what was taught.
But poor Dacen, the Shalane lamented forlornly. He is such a fine man, courteous, noble, handsome, intelligent, charming. Yes, I know you are infatuated with him.
I am not. Deny all you want, Shalane, but a mother knows. I've watched you two for some time now. You were hoping that someone very like him would march off that pier yesterday.
You would have hoped the same, were you in my place. I think I comported myself rather well, considering the colossal difference between my fanciful expectations and the disheartening reality. But you could have helped there, I think. Any hint of Shaitan's character beforehand might have spared me being shocked into open-mouthed silence in front of the better part of the aristocracy and nobility.
Be that as it may, Mirel replied, dodging the accusation, you don't have to like Shaitan. In fact, I would be surprised if you could. But beware your feelings toward other men. Truthfully, I wish Jen were at least my age or Jaren's. The last thing you need right now is another young man as your guard. But Jen is disciplined beyond my imagining and anxious to do his duty. I did not choose him because you like him less than Dacen, but if you do, then that is just as well.
I think Fenner has laid claim to him already, the Shalane said. Very well, then. I will accept your will and pretend that I had a choice. I hope you do not think I dislike Jen or undervalue what he did for me, for us. I owe him my honour and my dignity and will give him every respect. Have we learned more about him?
A little, Mirel answered, turning toward the mirror to adjust her hair. The main curiosity, obviously, is how he is so skilled, so young.
And
after watching them fight, Regent Ogbeth had the answer. The same smith that forged Cormyth forged Jen as well. The Shalane's mouth gaped.
Torbrand Cairn trained Jen. Why would the Shadan of Ogmir bother training a peasant of a nation he is now overrunning? It's daft.
Shadan Cairn is known for swordsmanship, not good sense, Mirel quipped. He is not always a rational man. I will try to find out why he did it and how, though I hesitate to ask Jen, as the memory of his training, or Shadan Cairn's presence in his homeland, will not be pleasant. I believe the scars Jen suffered originated from that training, or some other cruelty of the Shadan's. I am to take a meal with Jen when time permits, and I'll be sure to pass along anything interesting. But we should go. Ethrys and Jen will be waiting for us. Is Fenna coming?
Yes, she will meet us there.
After retrieving one of the Shalane's hairs from the brush, Mirel opened the door. Jaron bowed deeply to the First Mother and the Shalane, falling in behind them as they navigated the long passages underneath the tower, emerging into the main corridor of the great hall and arriving at the double doors. Herne stood there fast asleep. The First Mother motioned for silence from the guards, and they opened the doors to the outside without disturbing the old Chamberlain, who remained asleep despite the daylight that flooded over him through the doorway. The Shalane whispered,
"How much longer do you think Fedric can keep up his post, Mother?"
"His family is long-lived, so I hope he can keep at it for some time to come."
Once down the stairs, they turned toward the old chapel. Rather than go in the chapel proper, they circled around to the back, toward a small building where the acolytes gathered in small groups for meditation and prayer. Fenna had already arrived, leaning against the building near the door, absent-mindedly twirling a spring rose between her fingers.
"A gift from Jen?"
the Shalane whispered as she greeted her beloved handmaiden with an embrace.
"No, it is from Kimdan. He gave it to me this morning."
Fenna sounded confused, and the Shalane grabbed her arm and pulled her inside after her mother entered.
"We'll talk about it later,"
the Shalane said, surmising that Kimdan's sudden demonstration of affection toward Fenna was no doubt tied up with her recent interest in Jen. The room where Ethrys performed the branding for protectors was square and ascetically appointed, a room for instruction and meditation. Rough wooden benches faced a modest table upon which Ethrys had placed the implements of branding, an ornate silver knife, a variety of dyes, and a wooden cup with some sour-smelling draught that deadened pain. Jen stood at attention by the rough stone hearth, hands behind his back, and Ethrys stoked the fire. Both turned and bowed as the First Mother and the Shalane entered. It was the first time the Shalane had seen Jen in daylight, and upon seeing him again, a chill ran down her spine. Something about his presence invited her to bow to him instead of the other way around. Though a commoner, he commanded a regality, intelligence of eye, and apparent self-control to match any noble she had ever met. Now that she knew what he could do, both in terms of sword skill and courage, she couldn't help but feel awed and even a little fearful. Such a man as Jen would brook no weakness, accept no quarter, and never compromise his principles. The Shalane passed, and he nodded his head to her in deference. She returned the courtesy, feeling his inferior in everything that mattered. Mirel and Fenna, the Shalane noted, did not suffer from the same discomfort, approaching and addressing Jen very familiarly. Her mother, surprisingly, even kissing him on the cheek. Jaron closed the door and stood by it, Cadean at his side, as the ladies took a seat on the bench nearest the table. Despite feeling intimidated by her new protector, the Shalane couldn't help staring at his face, noticing the tanned skin and white scars that crisscrossed everywhere. Fenna looked at him too, rose clutched in her hands, and with eyes that indicated a mind preoccupied.
"Welcome, ladies and protectors," Ethrys greeted them.
He wore his white ceremonial robe as he had the day before.
"We gather at the request of the First Mother to induct Jen into the Shalane's personal protectorship. Since the First Shalane, the best of men were sought to guard her against the day of the accomplishment of her purpose. Now that the moment is close at hand, Jen, you must realize that you will have a unique place in history, and an honor that few in that history can lay claim to. You should know that it is the unanimous agreement of all those employed in the protection of the Shalane that you are most worthy and fit to serve her in mind, body, and purpose. We thank you for what you have done thus far for the Shalane, and have full confidence that you will do many more great things in her service."
"Thank you, Ethrys and First Mother, for this opportunity to serve," Jen replied.
"Let's begin. "Just do as I instructed you, Jen," Ethris said. "I know it is a lot to remember on short notice, so ask me for any help should you need it. Most inductees have some time to prepare, but you are a special case, so there is no shame if you forget some of it."
Jen nodded, and the Shalane sat up straight as Jen approached her and knelt, unsheathing his sword to lay it on her knees. The Shalane swallowed hard. His green eyes seemed to penetrate the veil, and she was grateful when he bowed his head. "Most Holy Mother, bearer of the hope of nations, I offer my sword to you and ask that you accept me into your service. I declare myself fit for that service and proclaim my unswerving desire to protect you against any you should call enemy. Will you have me?"
"I will,"
the Shalane returned weakly, clearing her throat to speak more forcefully.
"If you swear, under Eldaloth's watchful eye, to obey the will of the Crown of Rugoth, to be willing to brave any trial that my protection and the protection of the Holy Babe will require of you, and to never betray me, my house, or the will of Eldaloth."
"This I swear."
"Do you swear to fight every device of Mikik and his ilk that are laid against the path of my duty, even unto the laying down of your life?"
"This I swear."
"Do you swear to behave with honour, dignity, and compassion, as is befitting one who represents and protects me?"
"This I swear."
"Then rise and take your sword. May such peace attend us that you never need draw it in my service, but should such days come, wield it well."
Jen lifted the sword carefully, resheathing it. "My sword and my life are yours. Command and I will obey." He bowed again, the Shalane inclining her head in return as he returned to stand by the table. The whole ritual made the Shalane feel awkward, but what came next she could scarce bear to watch.
"First, Mother," Ethris said, "do you have one of the Shalane's hairs?"
"I do."
She unclenched her fist, and Ethris squinted to find the blonde strand. Taking it between his thumb and finger, he moved it to the table, trapping it under a bottle of dye. Ethris picked up the drink and offered it to Jen.
"Swallow this, and I've got a leather strap for you to bite down on if you would like."
"No, thank you," Jen refused. "I prefer to keep my senses sharp." The Shalane couldn't say why, but she half expected this refusal. Ethris raised his eyebrows and Fenner furrowed hers. Merel regarded him thoughtfully.
"Very well, but this will hurt a great deal."
Jen removed his shirt and Ethris stepped forward with his thin-bladed knife. With a steady hand and delicate skill, he cut into Jen's flesh at the centre of his chest, carving a tight spiral pattern. The Shalane focused away from the cutting, settling on Jen's face, astonished at his control. Not a flinch, grimace, or blink. His eyes didn't even water.
"So tell us about where you are from, Jen," Merel asked, while Ethris worked.
"I'm from a small town in Tolnor, just southwest of the Reed Steps. It was called Tell. Simple lumbermen and farmers, mostly. Cold winters, pleasant summers. It lay in the dukedom of Muir in Norshwell, if you ever had occasion to meet him." He might be sitting at a picnic in the sunny highlands for all the strain in his voice, and Jen's indifference to pain gave the Shalane the strange sensation that the body receiving the violence and the man that spoke were disconnected from each other.
"I never have,"
the First Mother answered as Ethris finished, blotting the blood away from the completed design.
"Now, Jen," said Ethris, "I will work the Shalane's hair into the wound. It is the binding agent that will allow you to know in which direction she is and to sense whatever physical duress she may be under."
He dipped the hair in a greenish dye and, while incanting, worked nimbly to insert the hair within the spiral cut. When done, he heated the blade and sealed the wound. The smell of burning flesh twisted the Shalane's stomach.
"You say it was named Tell? Was it destroyed?"
the First Mother continued as the blade sizzled around the wound. "Most of the people were killed when it was occupied late last fall."
"You met Torbrand Cairn there?"
the First Mother asked, and the Shalane caught a slight tightening around his eyes. Her mother had scored a mark.
"Yes,"
Merel nodded.
"That would explain recent reports. I will explain more later."
Finished with the brand, Ethris wiped his stained hands on a cloth from the table.
"That completes that portion of the branding.
It is customary that a black rose be burned into the underpart of the Protector's forearm as well, though it is not required. Dayson refused it. It is merely a tradition that has persisted through the years. Will you receive it?
Yes.
Ethrys unstoppered the bottle of black dye, coated Jen's forearm with it, and then removed from a pocket in his robe a rose pattern, fashioned carefully of a thin metal. Placing the design on the forearm, Ethrys incanted again. The metal flashed white-hot for a split second, the smell of burning filling the room again. Clearing away the pattern brand and the residue of dye revealed the perfect black rose.
"Now, Shalane," Mirelle said, "if you would perform a little healing on your new protector, so that he doesn't die of infection, we will conclude the ceremony."
The Shalane stepped forward, completely unnerved. He wasn't even sweating.
"Extend your hand,"
she requested, taking it as he offered it and concentrating to heal the damage caused by the burning and cutting. His skin, coarse and calloused, was abrasive to hers, and just from his light grip she knew he could crush her hand in an instant. Once finished, she opened her eyes to find him regarding her, and she stepped away from the power of his stare. Couldn't anyone else see it? Did it not discomfort anyone else?
"That concludes my work," Ethrys said, hands on the table. "Do the First Mother or the Shalane have anything to add?"
"Just a welcome into the close society of the Shalane's service," Mirelle said brightly. "I believe Jen already knows our regard for him. Do you wish to say anything, daughter? Fenner? Or Jaren?"
Jaren spoke unexpectedly, and all on the bench had to shift to see him by the door.
"I too welcome him and thank him for teaching me my duty. Since you raised the challenge against the Har Ulrich, Jen, I have been your man. I regard you as better than a brother, and could ask for no better companion to serve with me."
"I thank you, sir," Jen returned. "I owe you a great debt for supporting me in the matter. You have served long and well. I hope to do the same."
"Report to your post at the start of the sixth watch, Jen," the First Mother instructed him, as he replaced his shirt. "If you have any questions about your living arrangements or other mundane matters, ask the Chamberlain." They filed out, leaving Jen behind with Ethrys. The Shalane just caught the mage asking him something about pain before they emerged into the bright morning. The acolytes walked about the gardens surrounding the chapel, plucking out weeds and pulling dead petals off the flowers. The smell of the flowers calmed her nerves, and she took a deep breath.
"How can he do that?" Fenner asked, voice subdued. "Utterly amazing. It's as if he feels nothing he chooses not to." "Amazing? Unnerving was the word I would choose," the Shalane said, "or unnatural. I've seen four such ceremonies, and believe me, the leather strap was well chewed in each one of them, cup of grog notwithstanding."
"I think, my daughter," the First Mother interjected, catching up from behind, "that you may find all those scars have something to do with it. He has obviously been cut on a great deal more than anyone I've ever had in my company. What was done to him was inhuman, unnatural, though he is not so."
"Unless being treated so unnaturally made him so,"
the Shalane returned, anxious to talk of something else.
"Tell us about the rose, Fenner." "I don't know what I'm supposed to think,"
Fenner said some time later. They hadn't been able to talk much after the ceremony, as a reception with the nobles took up most of the morning. Shatan, drunk before things got too far underway, raved continually about Cormith's defeat and death, keeping company mostly with the Ogmerian warlords. The Shalane, in kind, mingled with Rugothians, though the few Tolnorian nobles in attendance seemed anxious to meet her and inquire about Jen. Word of Jen's nationality had spread quickly after the trials, doubly so after the duel with Cormith. The Shalane was surprised to find that most Tolnorians knew little to nothing about Tel either. The reception broke up after Shatan threw up his lunch and was escorted away from the hall to receive ministrations from the pure men. The Shalane didn't know if hangovers could be healed, as she had never been asked to perform a healing on someone thus indisposed. A few bitter herbs, she knew, could do the trick. The Shalane searched the room, finding Fenner bidding farewell to her parents, who were returning to their estate in the south until the betrothal. Once finished, her handmaiden crossed the room to where the Shalane stood with her mother. They left at once, so they could talk. The Shalane leaned in close to Fenner so that Jaren, following behind, couldn't hear.
"I find it rather coincidental that Kimdan should at last pay due attention to you after you take an interest in another man," I suppose recovering the captaincy of the apprentices from Jen isn't conquest enough, then. Do you think Kimdan knows I've been interested in him? Is he an idiot? The Shalane asked with a smirk. No. Then he knows. What am I to do? Fenner pleaded. Jen thrills me. Kimdan spins my head around. Neither has done anything, well, until today, to return my interest. Jen hasn't even returned my favour. He's been busy. True. But perhaps, the Shalane said, there is something we can do after all. You know every detail and fact about Kimdan, his family, his disposition, his birthday. How much do you know about Jen? I know he's from Tell, and that he would be the person to see should I want to get someone killed. Other than that, little. Every time I talk to him, I find I'm answering more questions than I'm asking. He always turns our conversations away from himself. Well, the Shalane said, resolved, let's go to the library and see where this Tell is. It's a start. Maybe we can find out something about the Duke and Duchess Norshwal as well.
They came in through the rear entrance of the library, knowing that Pure Man Obard would be there in his small, book-littered office.
Good afternoon, ladies, he said, standing after they startled him out of his reading. Obard bowed, straightening his long brown robe. He was tall, thin, and gaunt, skin evidencing his lack of outdoor activity. The flesh around his eyes seemed to have receded to give his eyeballs more room to soak up words. How may I serve you?
We are looking for information on a town in the Tolnorian kingdom named Tell, and wondered if you might point us toward a likely place to find it, the Shalane requested.
Obard had several places to search, readily in memory, and ran off into the stacks, mumbling titles to himself. He returned with a remarkable pile of scrolls and books, but after nearly an hour of searching through them, they gave up. No cartographer, it seemed, deemed Tell worthy enough of mention in any official map or census.
It is quite possible, Obard explained, that it is a newer town, or perhaps one so small or out of the way that no one bothered to record its position on the map. The newest map of Tolnor we have is dated 55 years ago.
Thank you, Pure Man Obard, the Shalane said, feeling tired. I'm going to go find something to read this evening. I'll let you know what it is before I leave.
Very well, Holiness. I'll keep searching for more information. I've several ideas on where else to look. May I ask what your interest is in this town?
It's where Jen is from, Fenner answered.
Oh, well, Obard stood, a smile coming to his face. You should have said so. Jen is in the foyer now. He came in this morning. We can just ask him.
Obard followed behind Jaren as the Shalane and Fenner walked out into the library proper, Fenner squinting as they emerged into the fully sunlit room. The Shalane noted her handmaiden's nervous look. She had worried the rose in her hand so much that the petals now drooped and bent off at weird angles. The Shalane busied herself by skimming the titles as they walked by.
Look, Fenner whispered. There he is, asleep on the couch.
The Shalane peeked between the books. Sure enough, Jen lay aslant on the couch, cradling his sheathed sword on his chest, hilt near his ear. A pile of three books sat on the floor nearby. Even in sleep, he looked dangerous.
See how he embraces his sword in rest, Fenner observed, grinning, like a long-absent lover.
He fell asleep in the same place and same fashion yesterday, Obard informed them. The scullery maid saw him so and declared him in desperate need of a woman before I shooed them off. I think I shall have to embroider his name on that couch. Quite an avid reader for a peasant, if these last 2 days tell anything of his habits.
The Shalane couldn't help but feel curious about what books a man like Jen might read.
Should we wake him and ask him to point out where he's from on the map? Obard offered. I could record it.
No, Fenner declined, suddenly coy. I don't want him to feel like we're prying.
Speaking as a man, though not as a pure man, I think he would feel flattered that two such ladies took enough interest to discover more about him. Let's wake him. I must admit that I, too, am curious about his origins.
No, he needs his rest, Fenner protested. He's to start his duties with the Shalane this very evening.
And then Shertan was there, and even more oddly, Dacen trailed behind him along the row of books. Jaren scowled at both of them. Obard bowed, and Fenner and the Shalane curtsied to the Haulric. The Shalane met Dacen's eyes, finding them on her. She fought back the sense of longing and turned her attention toward her future husband. He held a large apple in his hand. His sickness required a change of clothing, and he wore blue pants with a white shirt, a golden sash running from shoulder to hip. Wyshatan chose to wear tight-fitting clothing that emphasized his protruding gut, the Shalane could not fathom, though she doubted anyone still living, excepting Jen, possessed the nerve to inform him of his atrocious wardrobe. The pure men, thankfully, had somehow managed to sober him up.
"Well," said Shatan, "Shalane and, Miss Fern?"
"Miss Fenner Fairdale, Your Grace,"
the Shalane corrected.
"Right, Fenner. They told me you two came here, and so I thought I would find you and deliver the news myself. Forgive me, Shalane, if I do not stand closer. I fear I should accidentally touch you, and that awful peasant your mother just named your protector should come for me with a sword."
He took a bite of his apple, spraying juice everywhere.
"Good apple, if a little out of season."
"Said protector is nearby, Your Grace,"
the Shalane informed him, attempting to deter Shatan from further comments that might incense Jen.
"Oh, is he?"
Shatan stepped forward to get a better look.
"Oh," he whispered, "and he is sleeping. Well, he should hear what I have to say, too, since he is author of the circumstance that necessitated it."
Shatan pulled a book from the shelf and lobbed it at Jen. The Shalane, surprised and appalled at this disrespect, opened her mouth to give warning, but took a step back as Jen sprung from sleep, drew his sword, and dodged the missile in a heartbeat. The book bounced harmlessly on the cushions while Jen fixed his stare on Shatan. Fenner moved around Shatan and hurried toward a confused Jen, greeting him affectionately. The Shalane found a lump in her throat and swallowed hard to dismiss it. Jen was ever the adder, even in rest, coiled to strike.
"Shalane? Haulric? Miss Fairdale?" Jen said, bowing upon noticing the first. "Did someone throw a book at me?"
The Shalane moved from behind Shatan, whose feet were rooted to the carpet, face pale. Jen resheathed his sword, which helped Shatan's indisposition a little.
"The Haulric was sporting with you, Jen," the Shalane soothed. "Nothing more. He has some announcement to make."
Jen picked up the book and eyed the title.
"A fitting and excellent choice, Your Grace," he pronounced, returning the volume to the couch. "I would not be offended to have 100 of such books hurled at me."
"You have tried our patience long enough, Shatan," the Shalane cut in. "Do make your announcement."
"Yes, yes,"
Shatan collected himself.
"The announcement. As Dacen, a fine man of name and rank, was recently and most undeservedly wrenched from his post in favour of a man with no name and no rank, and finding that recent events have left a vacancy in the position of my bodyguard, I have asked Dacen to replace Cormyth at his post, and he has accepted. He is my new bodyguard. What say you, peasant? How take you the news?"
"He has served your desire well in at least one matter I can recall. While one act does not a full precedent make, I am convinced from other reports that Dacen is a consistent man and a solid fighter."
Dacen's face flamed red and he turned away. The Shalane silently cursed Jen for his barb. Dacen's pain hurt her, and she wished everyone else would leave so she could comfort him and convince him that she blamed him for nothing. Still, despite her good opinion of him, she felt disappointment at his acceptance of the position. As a Tolnorian, however, he was no doubt honour-bound to obey his future king.
"But Jen," Shatan pressed on, "do you not feel a bit of pity for the poor Shalane? Dacen is a high-bred man of charm and wit, a prince of Tolnor, and you have stripped him of his post, leaving the Shalane with you, a commoner, who has in 2 days' time garnered a reputation for having a wooden personality. What was it I heard the servants calling you? The dead-faced man, I believe it was."
The Shalane bit her lip. Why was Shatan baiting him?
"The First Mother appointed me the Shalane's protector," Jen said, "because she and her counsellors judged me the most fit to act in her physical defence. When an Uyumark is trying to drag your intestines out, all the nobility and pleasant conversation at one's command will only serve to lend you a clever line to utter at your death. They placed me in this office to kill the Shalane's enemies,
not so I could be anyone's charming dinner companion. While Jen's tone, on the surface, revealed no heat or ill will, the Shalane's knees shook. What ire, if any, Jen's controlled face masked, Shatan's did not. Thankfully, the library doors opened, providing a welcome distraction in the form of Chamberlain Herney.
"Blessed one!"
he exclaimed, executing the best bow his old back would permit.
"And holiness! Forgive this intrusion. I have a message for Jen and beg your leave to deliver it."
"By all means, Chamberlain," the Shalane said. "We are only engaged in idle conversation."
"Very well. Jen, the First Mother requests that you take the evening meal with her before your duties begin this evening. Shall I receive your response now, or shall I wait upon it?"
"Tell the First Mother I accept, though you may wish to warn her that I am reported to have a wooden personality."
"As you wish," Herney said,
wrinkling his brow at the addendum to the reply.
"It is obvious the First Mother favours you overmuch, Jen,"
Shatan observed haughtily. "In matters of being overfavoured, I will certainly defer to your judgment," Jen returned.
"I certainly judge correctly in this. I am the saviour of the world, and her future son-in-law, and she has not invited me to a private dinner."
"Considering that during the last meal she took with you, you tried to drag her daughter off to your bed like a common street whore, I think it's understandable that she needs an ample period of time to invent some good feeling for you before inviting you to dinner." As always, Jen spoke without emotion, as if every word were plainly true and not the least bit offensive. As before, Shatan turned red, stunned to silence at Jen's complete disregard for his station, and the Shalane feared something awful was about to happen.
"Oh, yes, blessed one,"
Chamberlain Herney interjected in the tense lull.
"I am informed that your concubines are all safely ashore now, and comfortably quartered." "Thank you,"
Shatan replied, embarrassment cutting in front of fury on his face at the Chamberlain's ill-timed information. The Shalane's heart sank. She knew Ogmerians engaged in the practice of taking concubines, but she thought Shatan, considering his role in prophecy as the father of God, would not be permitted. Yet one more thing her mother had withheld from her, though the Shalane remembered her alluding to it earlier that morning. She thought she caught the flash of surprise in Jen's eye as well, but couldn't be sure. Chamberlain Herney bowed again and left.
"Concubines?"
the Shalane said, a thin film of politeness overspreading her anger and humiliation.
"Why, how many do you have?"
"Only 14,
he said, apparently missing the Shalane's emotion.
"Father had many more. I suspect I will surpass him, due to my calling."
He bit into the apple again, chewing it enthusiastically. The Shalane didn't have the words to speak. "Forgive me, Shatan," Jen broke in. "Doesn't law in Ogmir state that one can only take concubines after marriage to a wife?" The Shalane knew this to be true. It was a concession Ogmerians made to the Church of the One, which frowned upon the Ogmerian custom of wives and concubines. Shatan shrugged.
"I have no wish to discuss Ogmerian law with a Tolnorian peasant. I must be going now anyway."
He extended the half-eaten apple to the Shalane.
"Do you want the rest?"
She shook her head in response, not trusting her voice, and Shatan plopped the apple in Obard's hand, instructing him to dispose of it however he wished. Jaren's face twisted in anger. Jen just stared at Shatan's back until the Blessed One disappeared into the rows of books.
"So, Jen,"
Pure Man Obard spoke, relieving the silence,
"I hear you are from Tel in the Tolnorian nation. I've searched and can find no record of it. I wonder if you might help me locate it."
"Some other time, Pure Man Obard," Jen said. "I need to get some rest before my appointment with the First Mother this evening. I promise to return and give you all the particulars. A half hour should prove adequate to relate them all."
"That will be fine."
"Shalane, Miss Fairdale," Jen said, bowing, "I must take my leave of you."
"You can take a book with you if you like," Obard offered.
"You know the rules, Obard," Jen said. "I wouldn't want to start breaking them on the very first day of my new position."
"What rule?" Fenner asked.
"Well," Obard explained, those not of noble birth cannot remove books from the library."
"That's ridiculous. Surely Jen is an exception,"
Fenner protested.
"Don't look at me so, Miss Fairdale," Obad exclaimed defensively. "I tried to get him to take one."
"Don't worry, Fenner," Jen placated. "I take no offence. The library is certainly better than any place I have to put a book. You'd best find a better place for that rose, though, or old man Winter will not have a change of heart. Good day." Jen left, and the Shalane wrinkled her brow.
"Old man Winter?" Fenner wondered. "What did he mean by that?" "I don't know,"
the Shalane answered more glumly than she wanted to. Pure man Obard rubbed his chin.
"That phrase reminds me of something. Can't quite recall it now. But I know where to look."
The pure man disappeared into the stacks again.
"He is right about the rose, though," Fenner said, examining the flower. "Do you think he knows that Kimdan gave it to me?" "Oh, I hope not." "Fenner,"
the Shalane returned, trying hard to act the healer while her soul bled. Fenner seemed oblivious to her pain.
"When Kimdan found out about your attentions to Jen, he warmed to you considerably. Perhaps it will work in reverse as well."
Fenner smiled, her gloomy disposition instantly dispelled.
"I think you are right," she answered happily. "Let's take care of this rose." "Yes, but wait."
The Shalane went to the couch where Jen had slept and picked up the book Shatan had thrown at him. His Master's Secret Law. Pure Man Obard was nowhere to be found, so she tucked the book under her arm.
"We'll come tell him later. Let's go somewhere Shatan will not find us."